Blog Talk Radio.
It is my pleasure to be your guide tonight to work us through this glorious event. And I just wanted to let you guys know because, you know, I'm excited every Tuesday, but today is the first show of my third year. So it's a day of celebration, and I'm so excited and I'm so thankful that you're with us. So thank you for being here with us. So, you know, anytime you invite people into your home, there's some things that you got to do before you get the party started and you open the door to let people in. So the first thing that we do right here at Life, Love, and Wellness is we get ourselves grounded in some affirmative readings. And what I do is I take my daily inspirational messages, which can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com, and I start us off with something that just kind of settles us in. And today's message is called Flawless Flow. Flawless is defined as without any cracks, no blemishes, whole and complete. Flow is to pour out. Just imagine God at work in your life, seeing you with life that represents a flawless flow. Wow. I just had to just breathe that in for a moment. Flawless flow by God. What a magnificent vision. God has given us everything we require to live an abundant and prosperous life. Are we ready to receive it, knowing that it is our birthright? The kingdom is ours. The fullness of the earth is ours. Riches of every kind are ours. These are the promises given to us. I stand ready to accept and receive my good. How about you? We must tend to any blockages that are in the way of this flow from God. Is there any negative energy that is dwelling in your thoughts or in your heart? Do you seek a higher way in interacting with others? Do you honor who you are right where you are? Are you waiting for that one thing to make you more complete? Well, I'm here to tell you that you need not wait any longer. God said you are worthy and deserving right now. You must know that it is true in the deepest crevices of your being. You must believe that God's promises are true. When we have accepted that right here, right now, exactly as we are is perfect to the Creator, then we can move forward in complete confidence. We are the ones who choose to judge, not Allah, not God, not the Source. You are a perfect expression, period. As we move into this knowingness of energy, the flawless flow can go to work in our lives because we are expecting it to. We only concentrate on that which we desire and nothing else. We focus our entire energy on creating our perfect life because we know that honors our Creator. Abundance manifesting in our lives. A rich life is our inheritance. I declare and accept God's flawless flow now. And that is so it is. Oh, man, that just felt good to talk about a flawless flow of God's goodness in our lives. And next what we do, in keeping with that same energy flow here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, is we invoke and we invite the spirits and the energies of our ancestors to be with us, especially on Tuesday nights, especially on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. But we invite and invoke their energies to be with us all the time because we treasure the gifts of our ancestors to us. And so we just say, thank you, ancestors. Ashe. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. So tonight's show is saying G-Damn with no oppressive. And you guys, we're in for a ride tonight. Bobby has been such a powerful person in my life and in the lives of so many others. He is passionate about the work that he does. And with this this movement that he's created, G-Damn, so we're going to have him to come on just shortly. But this week, April the 2nd through the 7th, marks the birth of this movement. It's called God Designed and Approved Me. It's an awareness week, and Bobby's going to come on, and he's going to answer questions like, how does this simple statement affect humanity? Would you be willing to allow everyone the right to be whom they say they are? Or do you feel compelled to address certain segments of society differently, right? And are you wearing someone else's spiritual hand-me-down suit? Stay tuned, boy. We're getting ready to crank it up in here. And so, again, you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and audience, you know you're always invited to join in the discussion. All comments are always welcomed, and every voice will be heard with complete acceptance, and there's never any judgment. So the call-in number, once again, for you is 516-531-9819. And when you push 1, it alerts me that you want to speak live on air with us. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show, and we're going to play a song just to kind of get our energies flowing just a little bit more. It actually going to take me a whole lot because I'll be so ready. I'll be so ready. So let's take a short break, okay?
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy, boy,
boy, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause the woman that you love is gone. Oh, that's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Oh, so listen to me, get up off your knees, cause only the strong survive. That's what she said, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Yeah, you gotta be strong. You better hold on. Don't go around with your head hung down. Well, I wouldn't let the little girl know, wouldn't let her know that she made me feel like a clown. Now,
That was Jerry Butler, Only the Strong Survive. And that's going to be how we roll tonight because, you know, sometimes when you take a stand in this life, you got to be strong. You got to be able to weather what the naysayers have to say to you. You're listening, and welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You're welcome to call and chat live on air with us at 516-531-9819. You would just simply press 1, let us know that you're on here to talk live with us. And, we're going to be talking about saying G-Damn with our founder of No Oppressive Thinking, Bobby Smith. And so we're going to...
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
I've been doing a lot of reading. You guys know I always am. And so I'm in Los Angeles currently, and my mom is 90-plus, and my dad is going to be 96 in just a few weeks. And so it's been really interesting being around them and sharing in that energy. But what I just found out, though, was back in 1960, there were only 3,500 people that were still active past 100 years old. But in 1995, just 35 years later, there was over 54,000 people that were actively living past the age of 100. And so there's so likely of a chance that you and I are going to be living past 100 years old. And so my dad, he's very, very active. He wakes up every morning and he greets the sun coming, rising from the east, and he does his stretches and he's limber and does all of that, but he's blind. My mom has perfect vision. She's actually in the nursing home right now. And so I was over there with her earlier today, and she's like, "You see that net?" I'm like, "You may can't do nothing else, but you sure got some good eyesight." So we have to make sure that we take care of our total being. Holistically, we need to make sure that we're taking care of our health, our eyesight, our nutrition, you know, exercises, everything. So I just wanted to throw that in there at you because I thought those numbers were really fascinating. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And tonight our program is called Saying G-Damn with No Oppressive Thinking Incorporated founder Bobby Smith. And this week, this is now the second day, so from April the 2nd to the 7th marks the birth of G-Damn Week. And that G-Damn stands for God Designed and Approved Me. This is the awareness week. And this is the inaugural program in 2017, which makes it even grander because this is a year of one. So my friend, Bobby Smith, has been my IT person. And so for me, that's his strength. But his strength is in him completely learning about and being fully educated on whatever topic he becomes associated with. And so be it working out on a computer or creating no oppressive thinking, NOT is the acronym for that. To GDAM, Bobby is always thinking about how he can serve the best way and what would be the most comprehensive way of putting together a program. So that's how I know Bobby. He is very well-read, very intelligent, and he will do additional research where a lot of people would just stop after, you know, a couple of sessions going through some things, but not Bobby. And so I want to bring Bobby on, and I want him to tell you a little bit more about who he is, and then we're going to get into this talking about exactly what is this GDAM that he's got going that is starting this week. So, Bobby, are you there on the line with us?
Yes, I am. I almost thought you were talking about somebody else and thought I called in on the wrong night. You were talking about such positive, beautiful brother.
Yeah, you are. You know that. You know that. Thank you for taking time. Yeah, thank you for taking time for being here with us.
And I'm honored that you made the time for me. And it just seems to always be that synchronicity that we have, but that I get to speak on your power number day. This is number three.
Yes. Yes. It's awesome.
Yeah. You know my research. I've been going through numerology. This the people in my life, they all match up in so many ways. My husband is a 6 and I'm a 5. So we make the power number 11.
That's awesome.
Yeah, this but you know, from interacting with me, one of the things that you get to know very quickly is that my connection to spirit is very strong and by no doing of mine. And, you know, that usually goes against the mainstream or what I was made to believe in my earlier life because, you know, being a gay black man, that's, I'm supposed to be living the life of an abomination. And it took a long time for me to drop that and come into my full power and to use the gifts that were endowed on me to use in my interactions with other people that I meet on this earth. And that was where GDAM kind of came from. Working with Knot and working with several organizations, HIV, mental health, I've always been an activist, and I've always believed that the struggles that I've gone through and made it through successfully, a challenge comes from that, that I have to look back on those who may not have the strength I have and help them make along that same path. And that was where Knot came from, of not knowing any present thinking. And right now for the LGBTQ community, oppressive thinking comes in under the mask of religion. Mm-hmm. And GDAM is not a protest against any religion or belief system. It's a challenge of awareness that different thoughts and beliefs can exist in non-threatening way within the same world. And hopefully it'll prove as a catalyst to the same thought processes that whites who once thought that they were going to die from drinking from a black fountain or sitting in a restaurant in the same area as colored, we'll find out that it's time to let those campfire tales go and and the abomination theory, because they have these this faceless mask on the LGBTQ community, and by wearing the orange ribbons for a week, that puts a face to the image. And it's kind of hard. It's easy to hate a group that you just have accepted a definition or defining character. When it's written by somebody else, it gets to be a little bit harder when that hatred has to be sent towards someone that you actually like. And I noticed the power. You know, one of the things that Knot promotes a lot is visibility breeds empowerment. And I came to that when my husband and I got married. Before it was legal in Georgia. And walking in the grocery stores or sitting in restaurants, people will come up and be like, y'all must be brothers, da, da, da. And, I would say, no, this is my husband. And people would be like, well, y'all must have been meant to be together. And these were not younger folk. You know, there were, you know, I kind of had anticipated the negative comments to come from, you know, the elders. And they were like, oh, y'all need to stay together. Oh, I can tell y'all are married. Y'all act just like it. And what I've noticed is people can accept it when they see it for what it is. But as long as they're accepting somebody else's definition and it's designed and it's described in a way of hatred, and again, that word abomination, then they tend to subscribe vicariously to hatred due to someone else's definition. And so that's where G-Dam was born. And I had to get with Spirit to finally figure out how to put it together in a way that was fun but serious at the same time, you know, that kind of reflects me. And I like the way that you show it as, you promote it as an opportunity. It's not just the LGBTQ program, even though it was I made it to bring these, you know, to open up opportunities for the LGBTQ community and empower them. But it's actually a point of growth for everyone.
Yes.
And
yes,
because, you know, like I said, a lot of us are not looking, you know, it's like, is our religion so weak, or do we not have faith in our religion to think that it can't be questioned?
But you know what,
where,
Bobby,
you know,
let me just, for a minute. Now, I don't know if everyone knows, but just so that you, those of you that don't know, I've spent a lot of years working in the LGBT community. And what was really just heartbreaking to me was to see the gay guys, and that was like 95% of the community that I dealt with, that would come around and they would just be so lively and excited about life and living. But then as Sunday approached, how their whole attitude and their whole demeanor changed. And then on Monday, like, they were almost depressed. And what happened, you know, in getting to know and getting to talk to the different guys, is that they say it's one thing to be, like, in the community during the week, but on Sundays they don't feel that they can act gay or be gay. Because, like Bobby is saying, you know, they felt like it was an abomination because that's what they had been told. And so they were living this life where they were just constantly being torn from who they were to what their religious leaders said was an abomination. And so I just wanted to bring that little light on there, Bobby, only because I saw it with my own eyes. And it would just tear my heart up. Because, you know, they were such fun-loving people until they had to deal with the reality of they had to go to church on Sunday. And I just found that so strange.
Well, Sandy, almost in any religion or belief system, you're taught early on that God is love. And then to come up that way and then to be told years later, God doesn't want you. You are an abomination. You're something that he doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you that it affects your ability, your views of love. And that is like the basis of almost everything that you do in life. Love is your passion. So you have for those that go into depression, you have those that get into relationships that they're not worthy. You have people that practice unsafe behaviors because they really don't think their lives are worthy of saving in the first place. And,
exactly.
And substance abuse and all of that. And that's why sometimes I ask people, is your religion really how the spirit moves you, or are you killing people with friendly fire, your neighbors and everything, by telling them something that, do you really believe that these people are not a product of God? Can you really say anyone isn't? And because that's what you're doing, you know, we're judging. If you say someone isn't a product of God, then you're making a judgment.
Right, right.
And then, you know, they'll be the first ones to say, we don't judge, you know. And,
right.
And it's just a practice that, you know, we're taught that, to do that, to say this, to do this, do that. There's no, you know, critical thinking is dead once you go into church, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I'm really thankful that I was led here in Truth Sanctuary, where Pastor D. Pope and, you know, he's best friends with Bishop Pearson, and they encourage critical thinking. They allow you to realize there are 4,000 books. There are actually 4,000 books to the Bible. D.E. says all the time, Jesus did not speak in thee and thou. In that part of the country, they were not speaking in thee and thou. So there's a lot that was missed in translation, you know. And you know, it's like, and I mean, I'm just focused on Christianity right now, but it just goes that way. Anything that was told, any story that was told, changes or
sure.
is altered depending on the author. And
right.
you know, we've come to where we can wear polyester, except gay people, because, you know, we do satin. We do silk only. But, or so everyone thinks. But, and there is a, you know, we're eating shellfish and everything. But we still hold on to what we think doesn't affect us. But when your home is broken into because somebody's a drug addict, and you don't know that that person, you don't know that that person was gay and has had a low self-esteem since they tried to change something that couldn't be changed, was the one who broke into your home. You know, the person that the DL person that unknowingly transmitted the HIV virus, or maybe even knowingly, didn't have the strength enough to deal with the stigma, because they've already been tricked. They've already been taught that they're messed in. And, and that affects our community. Our community, you know, that's something that we cannot say that, you know, I've written before about blacks want to have a black movement and then be anti-gay. And it's like, being gay did not make me un-black. and if you don't believe me, just let me walk my 6-foot self in the white side of town and watch people clutch their purses, and I could be as gay as I want to be. But they still see me as black. And,
right.
And so there's no new race, and it can't be new, because LGBT has been, you know, it's documented. This has been almost since the inception of time. It's in you know, very a lot of ancient cultures, but yet we, but still there is that training that does the separation. You know, it was like I was very active in church when I was coming up, and I have several pastors in my family, and I can throw, you can give me 2 minutes, and I can throw a sermon up. Me and my sister and I used to play church when my mother was church secretary on Saturday mornings. I could throw a sermon together just as well as any pastor. And that was at the age, you know, that was at the age of 10 and 11. And then I was taught to hate myself. By other people's hatred. And it didn't make sense. You know, spirit will tell you.
So how did that affect you, though?
With me, it affected me, the depression, the substance abuse, the not really anything that failed, it was destined to fail for me because I was this thing that should not have been. And there are sometimes when you get angry. it wasn't the timing to accept it. It was the fight.
Okay.
My spirit actually got angry. And finally had, because it's like, why would God create me or allow me to be something that he didn't like? Why would you put me into this life? And, you know, and Spirit told me, God is not who you need to be angry with. It's the people who believe that.
But you thought it was God at first, though, right?
Because that's what we're taught. Like I said, we're taught from day one, God is love. That's the golden rule, you know, and we're ingrained. We're never... You know, it's just now with the millennials and everything where we're allowed to ask questions. You weren't allowed to question it. It was when you went to church, it's because I said so. This
and
is the way it is.
Question,
this is the way it was written.
Yep. You were talking
about it. It's in the Bible.
God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. It is. And. There, you know, and that just, you know, and having those questions even reinforced. And being an abomination. And I kind of grew up with the image that, you know, there's that movie where the angel sleeps with a demon or something like that, and I was like half demon, half angel. Even though they're all the same. You know, it's all angels. It's just... the perspective that you take on. And when I was growing up, I was like always conscious of this good versus bad balance, this pull back and forth, and I felt like I was in the middle of it. And, you know, one of the best things when I got a therapist as an adult, that we came to a conclusion that I was able to say to somebody, I'm not bad. I'm not a bad person. And
you have
that really
being a black male, right?
Being with what?
The homosexuality with just, I mean, with your physical characteristics of being a black male. So you got that. That's already saying you less than, right?
Well, I think that's the way my mother was seeing it, as I had enough challenges being a black male.
Okay.
You know, luckily classism kind of saved me from the less than image as I was coming up. But I've seen it in enough clients and people that I've worked with the organization to see that as a black male, you know, you're not supposed to make it. I didn't come up with that. You know, I wasn't supposed to make it. I came up with, I'm supposed to make it, but this is going to stand in my way. When my mother dropped me off to Florida A&M University in 1983, we had never had the discussion, but she was like, be careful, there's something going around that's affecting gay men that mess around with men.
Okay.
And this is back when it was called GRID, because, you know, it wasn't, that's basically how she described it, is how we knew it back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was one of the biggest setbacks that probably helped happen to the LGBT community, because gay men were, you know, disproportionately affected. And everyone was thinking that was the scourge of God. And,
right, exactly.
You know, we weren't educated to know that there's more, you know, there's more blood, you know, there's more blood exchanged in the mucous membranes during it's anal sex. So, so then you already had that kind of as a theory that you're taught at a young age, but then it comes up, and then we had the HIV/AIDS pandemic. And bam, okay, now we have proof, or people were using it as proof. So you've got people dying around you, they're getting punished, and they're probably going to hell. And you try to change it, you know, because I've been in a heterosexual marriage and everything, but it wasn't me.
Right.
You know, and, you know, the same way, and I don't think, and, you know, it's kind of funny when I hear heterosexual people be like, I just don't understand it. I don't see how y'all could do that. And, Sandy, I don't think I've ever told you this, but, you know, I look at straight people like that. I'd be like, ooh, I just, and I've been married. And, you know,
funny.
I've been in a heterosexual marriage, and I just be like, ooh, it just makes me crazy. I'm just like, I just can't. And, you know, and I'd be like, that was part of when I was like, you know, God designed me this way. I'm just going to, it had to be.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could be anybody
because,
else.
You know, what Louise Hay says, no matter what your sexual orientation is, it's perfect for you, you know. So, and you know, because I'm always curious about the disproportionate number of blacks or African-Americans, whatever we're going to call ourselves these days, with the HIV virus and you know, and AIDS. Because for it to have been started or created or whatever in a whole nother culture, a whole nother community, and for now, you know, like it's like so heavy in within the African American or people of color community. I just, you know, I keep asking, why is that so? You know, why is that so? So let's think about that for a second. I want to play. So Bobby gave me this soundtrack. I want you guys to really pay attention to it. I'm going to play this, and then we're going to come right back and talk more about GDAM and No Oppressive Thinking with Bobby Smith, who is the founder of both of those movements. We'll be right back, you guys. Listen to this very carefully, though.
Even in the New Testament, we find it rearing its head with Jesus returned after dying to greet his apostles in John.
sorry, you guys. I heard that it was breaking up really bad, so my apologies for that. So, Bobby, you want to kind of break down the reasoning why you wanted that to be played? What was the message behind that for those that couldn't hear it very clearly?
Comparisonitis is one of the – I heard that is one of the is part of one of the club mixes I have. And comparisonitis, that message in there that's saying it goes back to biblical days when, you know, Jesus gave an order, and then the next thing he says, well, what about him? You know, and it's like we do that instead of dealing with what God gives us in our design. You know, the common statement, stay in your lane. We kind of, we get in the habit of comparisonitis. And I was trying to look that link up, so, because that has actually gotten me through a lot.
Well, actually,
and,
I've got some people that said that it was clear, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
They probably blocked it down here in Georgia.
That wretched mouth.
They got the sermon on. That's blasphemy. That's secular music.
You got all the time. You know, I didn't even identify. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So welcome back. And because Bobby and I just kind of got into a conversation without even identifying where we are. So this show tonight is called Saying G-Damn, G-D-A-A-M. And we're on with the founder of Know, K-N-O-W, Know, No Oppressive Thinking, and it goes by the name of Not, K-N-O-T, and the founder is Bobby Smith, and he's on with us tonight. And so we're just, Bobby is bringing to our everyday language what actually happens within the LGBT community and how growing up and being caught in the middle of the religiosity of it and who he knew that he was at the time and how he's created this movement called GDAM to help the members of the community who are still struggling with their identity to be better equipped to honor who they are and to move along within a flawless flow of life that they can hold their heads up high in who they are. So that's like a real condensed version of what we've been talking about so far. But it's really important that we get this, and so my own personal testimony would be that even working in the LGBT community, sometimes I'm challenged with my own acceptance. I have a little pet peeve around the guys that act a little too feminine, you know, and I'll call them on that. But that's my prejudice. And so I know we all have them because my heart is wide open, but there's still some characteristics within the community that just kind of grab me the wrong way. And it's because there's always going to be something about people in general that, you know, will remind you about something that was triggered when you were coming up that was unacceptable or whatever. And so, you know, for anybody to say, well, I don't have any of that going on and I'm this and I'm that, that's very possible. But Sandy does have some issues sometimes, but I'm willing to talk it over. I'm willing to learn. And so that's what this whole Life, Love, and Wellness is about, you know, is everybody putting their stuff out on the table and let's talk about it. You ain't got to agree, but let's talk about it. You know, a platform for life to be discussed. So, my friend Bobby Smith, you're back on, baby.
Thank you, Sandy. And
you're welcome.
And I never knew you had that issue in the community. You worked through it well. And that's another reason that the GDAM is really important. A GDAM week is very important because, to tell the truth, that's why it's not an attack against organized religion. You can have your religion. You can do the backflips. You can cut chickens in the pulpit. Whatever your belief system is all right with me, as it should be with anybody. But I think as we evolve as a society, we're starting to have issues. And religion is being scapegoated to hold on to those issues. It's being thrown under the bus because the machoism, the machismo in the Latin community that we hold on to, that says basically any feminine energy is less than male energy. And when you have a problem with an effeminate gay man, that is what you're saying that out loud as a woman.
Yeah.
That you're less than a man. You've been programmed that way. And, you know, and it's like, you know, that's why I say it's really, really important to everyone to realize that non-acceptance, just because you've been taught that, may go against something that against yourself. Because that message right there, you know, I to tell the truth, I always wanted to be a woman, not because I was gay, just because I thought women were powerful. You know, it's like Superman and Batman were okay, but Wonder Woman and Isis, those were the ones that had the power. They could create everything, and they did, you know that.
Yeah.
And not to mention Wonder Woman can change outfits in three twirls. But there is that, you know, it's just now we're evolving to realize that everyone is a balance or some equation of male female energy. And it's not always 50-50.
Right.
But like you said, it's your design. It might not be my design, but it's your design. And it's like we need to quit questioning creation because that's who did the design.
Right.
I didn't design myself.
Right.
But I know that I am so important that God made sure he made a Bobby on my birthday. And he only made one of me. And I was so important that he wrote me into this story of that he wrote in creation.
There you go.
Everybody is like that. Everybody here is some type of important. You know this, and you know namaste. There's some reason that person is here.
Mm-hmm.
And when we subscribe to them being an abomination, which I don't think it goes, I just, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to attack religion, but I don't think anybody's spirit tells them can walk up and just say, I hate you because you were born.
Right.
And that's just, you know, it needs to be, we need to get exposed to that and stop hiding it behind religion. Look at it for what it really is. It's a behavior that is, you know, you would expect from cavemen. But if you are conscious, if your mind is aware, if you're self-aware and conscious, you look at your behaviors for what they are and come out of the programming. And like I said, wearing spiritual hand-me-down and get your suit tailored for you.
Yeah. We've got a caller, Bob.
Okay.
We've got a caller with a comment or a concern. It's area code 940535. You want to give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or concern, please? Hello? 940535. All right. I had the signal that they wanted to speak, but so there's no voice there. So I apologize. Go ahead, Bobby.
No problem. And hopefully that person will call back. And,
their mic is still open, so they can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bathroom break. And so.
Yeah.
And so this is why, you know, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Well, I was trying to think of what vein, the next vein you wanted to go on. Oh, and I wanted to bring back comparisonitis, why that came up. Because, you know, it also is, I have an amazement for, you know, in my experience, it has been, you know, it's like, the gays are trying to throw this stuff in my face. I'm trying to be, you know, they just putting too much of this stuff in here. You know, it's like, well, you know, and nobody thinks about how much a heterosexual throw this stuff in my face. You know, it's like,
okay.
I'm supposed to,
yeah.
You know, there's no problem with going to church and bringing your kids and your wife or asking about your boyfriend. Or even when I'm volunteering, there was a time when I didn't talk about who I was dating.
Okay.
You know, because it wasn't a female. And
so let me ask you a question. Do you think that we should do away with heterosexual and homosexual? Do you think we need to get rid of those labels there?
I don't think we need to get rid of them. I think we need to get rid of where we apply them, like a gay marriage and a heterosexual marriage. Nobody says heterosexual marriage. So it's just a marriage.
Right.
One of the things that was a concern of mine when I was looking for a church home was I didn't want to go to a gay church.
Okay.
Because it was like I had to see.
So what does that
mean?
That
went back to. Well, you know, the churches that are what are called affirming, they get that label of being a gay church. And to me, that means that I have a safe place. It's a closet that I can go in and be safe to praise God because it's gay. And
that's
and
really interesting, too.
I don't think, you know, and so I was like really anti-gay church. You know, I don't want to go to a church that's all gay.
Right.
And you know, I go to Spirit and Truth Sanctuary, and it was the first church I think here that integrated, with first white church that integrated with blacks, and now we have. And one of the jokes that he says, because we're all inclusive now, and he says when we started letting the blacks in, the whites left. When we started letting the LGBT community in, some of the blacks started leaving. And then when we started taking all the faiths, some of the LGBT started leaving. So it's like, we want to hold on to that programming of this is the belief that we have. And, you know, and I actually had someone that was a gay couple that joined the church around the same time that I did. And he had to leave because he's like, I love the church and everything. But he's like, I just need that to be that. And he was like, and it's just, he just wasn't ready to.
Yeah.
Evolve to or spread his thinking to be able to take in other, you know, teaching from other religions at the same time.
Well, we got the call back, Bobby.
Okay.
940-535. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or concern, please.
My name is Eve, and I'm from Texas. And
hey,
I'm really
Eve
listening.
From Texas.
Hey, I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm really paying attention, and I'm doing a lot of good thinking. So what I think, and my question is to you, once I get through explaining everything I got to say, I'm going to try not to take too long. My question is, we should question ourselves. I really believe we should question ourselves. Now, when I look back in history, and I'm 60 plus, when I look back in history, and even my own time, it keeps changing. Our religion keeps changing. Things keep changing. They keep coming up with what findings. So I'm going, wait a minute, changing ever since I was born. If it's changing every time I turn on history channels and learn more and more, it's always something new. How can we get stuck in one place and say this is not right and that's not right and that's not right? To me, when I put it all together and I'm taking a look at everything and I'm listening and I'm paying good attention, and I really appreciate you and I appreciate you all and I appreciate the audience. What I'm looking at and hearing, I'm going, who are we to step up and say, it's okay if I don't like a burger and I like the fries. Now, that's okay. That's my food going down. But when I look at the world and each and every last one of us, just because I open my eyes and look at you, I don't like you, or I'm frowning, that's the problem. That's what I'm trying to say. What do you think?
I think I'm in love with you, Eve. Thank you.
Oh, it's
you're the type of mind, that's why I love Sandy so much. I love a mind that's open or a mind that grows. Because, like you said, ever since day one, the world has been changing. It's been evolving. And, you know, and Pastor D.E. teaches us that it's not necessarily that God's word has changed. It's that our understanding is evolving. And because, you know, what it took to do creation is so far beyond us. That it'll be 3,000 years from now, and we still won't have it all.
What I love what you say. I believe in creation. So a lot of things we hear, people just saying it, and that's what we have to examine. And you keep bringing it. I'm just enjoying you because the truth is, we going on what we've been told, and then
right.
Somebody said, wait a minute. Believe that, believe this. Then before we know it, if we don't be wise in the way we were made, we will be in confusion and we will be fussing. We will be fighting, and that's not the way to go. And that's what religion is doing all the way till today. Something is wrong with that picture. When you take a look at it and take a look at us, wait a minute, I'm with this person. Why can't we all get along? Look at that. So that means that we're not looking at our true selves and each other. You know what? The way, okay, we got to eat, we got to set, we got to laugh, we got to go to sleep. I appreciate that. So I appreciate the way we made. I appreciate talking with you and others. Now, wait a minute. So what if we don't 100% agree? So why can't we just love each other and do what we should do in the land? That's where I am.
Right. And the reason we can't is because we don't want to let go. And, you know, because in order to do that, Eve, in order to have that open-mindedness, like you said, you have to be aware of yourself. You have to look at not just the good, but the ugly. And, you know, what I have found is not everybody really, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not comfortable for anybody. But in order to mature spiritually, I think you have to. And the biggest diversion for not looking at what you need to work on or what's broken in you is to try to pick something that actually is being taught to you is broken in someone, and it's not even broken. I was broken when I couldn't accept myself for who I am.
All right.
I have a broken relationship with my mother because she loves me dearly, but we cannot have any personal conversation about my household or anything because she doesn't, she has never said my husband's name. She's never visited. So she loves 80% of me because my sexual orientation is not my whole identity, but it is a crucial part of me. So if you want, if you're loving me, you can't selectively, you know, I had an uncle that I went to who was a pastor, and I wanted him to work out some stuff between my father and I and mediate it, and he was like, came with that, and I'm sorry, but I hate this statement. Love the sinner, but not the sin.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
can't
yeah.
you can't cut somebody, you can't cut somebody's sexuality out and put it on the shelf for them to do and expect it. That's not a whole person. That's a broken person. That's breaking someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're accusing
them
of being broken.
You know, uh-huh. my answer is that we have the nerve to, and excuse me, we have the nerve to know the word respect, and but we don't even believe in that. We wrong. We got the nerve, you know, they sent us to school. They said, okay, and then Aretha Franklin made respect. Here we go. We know all about that word respect. But when it comes to doing it, ooh, we sell out. So I think it's a personal bad problem of ours. And wait, and I live happy. I want you to know. So I got it like that. But wait, we can have it like whatever we have that's good. All we got to do to me is do it. That's what I want to say to you. Wow, enough.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And see, one of the things that really amazes me is when someone like me refuses to have someone impose their dogma on you, and then they accuse that you're imposing on their religious freedom. You know, that's where these religious freedom acts are coming from. You know, it's like, I'm not going to let you tell you, you took a job as a clerk. You're taking my tax dollars, but you're going to tell me who I have to put on the dotted line to marry. And I'm offending you. But you took this job, you getting paid, and you have no offense when you get when my tax dollars go on your payroll.
Yeah.
But I'm coming in, and now I didn't come in and burn, take your Bible out of the desk or your Quran out and set it on fire. I just came in to go get married.
Hey, do you know what you just told me? You just told me this, and I appreciate this. Here it comes. You just told me that we as a world, as a people, what we have left out is to respect others. So we need this in the rest of our lives from now on. I mean, the next generation and the next and right now and give it to everybody we know. We just need to do that. Now, that's the book and the study we need because we don't know how to do that. If we did that, that would change and shake up the whole world.
And you just captured the whole spirit of G-Dam. That's why you got to go tell people G-Dam. I go on post all the time and write G-Dam on it because that whole concept is the respect. Is usually, and when I put that on something, it's a violation of that respect or that acknowledgement of God designed and approved me. Once you realize, if you go and look at everybody and realize, if everybody tells you G-Dam, or you say G-Day, that God designed and approved you or them, I don't think that, you know, I think a lot of that judgment and those problems will be eliminated. Because that takes the responsibility off of there.
Wow, look at that. And you know what? Wait a minute, I'm going to tell you. See, I live happy. And so I'm in the world, too. And I'm looking at everybody. I'm going, what's up with us? We really don't know how to be our true self. When we came in this world, look at how tender we were and how we had to learn to do everything. Why can't we do that now? Why can't we be good to one another? Babies look at you and they reach out for you to pick them up. What is our problem? Come on now. Yeah, that's how I live. So you can imagine us and others going through the land looking at this saying, something wrong. I dug it. And wait. But I'm loving doing excellent, without a doubt, no matter what. I appreciate you. Thank you.
We appreciate you, Eve.
Andy.
That's what it's all about. Audience, we got about 20 minutes left. If you have a comment, you want to say something, you don't agree, you do agree, it doesn't matter. 516-531-9819. Come on and share your thoughts with us here about GDAM, and if something Bobby has said or something Eve has said has kind of sparked something in you, please join us in the discussion. Like I said, we've got about 20 minutes left. And Eve, I really, really appreciate you just lighting this thing up, because I think one of the things now Bobby was talking about the evolution, and I think one of the milestones that we're at right now in this civilization, this current civilization, is that we're not so caught on religion. And we're learning about spirituality. Spirituality was never taught before. You know, you had to believe the dogma of the religion in order to be a good steward of that religion. But now more and more people are understanding and getting to the fact that God lives in all of us, and God can express through all of us, and that's called our spirituality, not our religion. And I think that's the point of evolution, Bobby, that you were talking about, where we are right now. So it's not so much the dogma that we believe in, but our connection with the Creator, with the Most High, with, you know, the source of all life.
Well, it's as simple as this. That spirituality existed before. Oh, you do?
Before I leave,
I'll give you all my contact information and how to go to the website. Is bit.ly/2017 GDAAM is all caps and week is in lowercase.
All right.
And that'll take you to the website.
Okay.
And then you can go to, and you can find me on Facebook, Bobby Smith.
Okay.
And I have a Facebook page, Knot Inc. KNOT Inc. You probably be easier because there's 3 million Bobby Smiths just in Georgia. If you look me up by email,
though, right?
Yeah. Or she can look me up by my email, which is lookingforbs@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. Hey, I want you to know, thanks for some more enlightening. Thanks for some more growth. Thanks for some more fulfillment. Thanks for some more happiness. And thanks for some more openness. Appreciate you to the fullest.
Oh, thank
and thank you for allowing me to be a source of that. Because that's an honor.
Thanks, Eve.
Hey, you know what I love? That's some good energy. I'm trying to hold on to it. I'm really trying to hold on to it. Hey,
that's why I felt your energy when you joined on. That's why I was like, my first statement was, I love you.
It's on. Okay. It's on. I want you to know that. All right. Okay.
Right.
Thanks.
Sandy, I wanted to bring out something about when you were talking about evolving with spirituality, because, you know, spirituality was there before the dogma. Jesus was not a Christian. The Christians came after Jesus. Buddha wasn't a Buddhist. So, you know.
I'm serious. That's what I'm talking about. Keep going.
Yeah.
And they were embodiments of the spirit, the spirituality.
Right.
We created the religion afterward because we all wanted to be like Mike, you know.
Yeah. Okay, we've got another call.
So.
Bobby, we got another caller, 817-308. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or concern, please.
Thank you very much, Sandy. I wanted to just sit and listen, but now you're going to call me out. Okay. It's okay. This is Stone. I'm down here in DFW area, down here in Dallas. And I'm glad you did kind of break me in, because that spirituality that we talk about, that's what's been hidden from us for so many centuries, so long. You talk about Jesus not even being a Christian. Never forget, these religions that we have had their inception. In other words, they had their beginnings. And so much of his story, H-I-S story, his story, is our, and I say our, the black man's history. Because they're going back to ancient Chemites, ancient Sumerians, ancient Egyptians. And there's one group of people they don't even talk about anymore. The Phoenicians. Those Phoenicians, I tell you, they sailed all over the world. That was their duty. That was their job. That was ultimately their purpose, is to go around the world and spread their knowledges. And I never understood, or I never really realized that there are so many pyramids in the North American continent, but they're all covered with grass and forest and different trees because they go back so far. But I go back to spirituality. There's one thing that's understood in this environment now that we've come to have all those knowledges from those different environments, those different ancient customs, those different ideologies. We've come to understand one thing, and that is energy does not, you can't destroy energy. It only changes form. And that's the beauty of our spirituality, that energy that we project. And I'll stop there. And thank you very much, Sandy, for at least let me know I was here.
Did you just ambush somebody?
I didn't do anything. So Bobby, you want to give us your contact information again, please? Just I want to make sure we keep weaving that in, because we're coming up on about 15 minutes left of the show.
Okay. Again, okay. The website for GDAM Week, that basically just gives a light description of what it means and who it's for, is bit.ly, which is bit.ly/2017 GDAAM in all caps. And then week in lowercase. And my organization's email is k.n.o.t.org@gmail.com. And there's also Facebook. And my personal Twitter is Bits of BS. BS stands for Bobby Smith. And on Facebook, I'm under Bobby Smith, or Not Inc. also has his own page.
Okie doke. Thank you, sir.
And, Sandy, I wanted to pull something real quick about, I had a mental post-it note when you had mentioned about the depression in the in the gay guys that you were working with and everything, and now I'm trying to. And that poster just went on, so that thought wasn't meant to come out. So,
let me just say this real quick, and this may spark something for you. So, my whole the whole disheartening fact about that is that these were very loving, caring, genuine people, and for the majority of the time. But it was when they had to change faith to go to church because they felt that they were damned and that they were no good because that's what their religion enforced or taught or subscribed to, and they bought into it. And it was like with some of them, it was like no penetrating that shield that they wore, you know, like, I am no good, I am worthless because the Bible says, and my religious community says, and it was just really, it really just broke my heart to see people that could just hate themselves that much, you know, or being torn, I guess, being torn between the two realities. And so that was the point that I was making earlier. I thought that helped you with where you were going.
Yeah, internalized homophobia just tears is, you know, I used to co-facilitate a mental health group specifically for gay black men, and the numbers of how many had already had numerous suicide attempts.
Yeah.
That had been put out on the street, that still go through issues. You know, one brother said that his father told him that he wished he, when he told his father he was gay, he said, "I hope you get AIDS and die."
Wow.
And this is where your structure, you know, this goes back to your structure of love that you're taught. You know, your go-tos when you're a child, your go-tos are your sources of love is God, your mother, and your father.
Right.
And spoiled love goes grandparents. So you go on your life, and then the rug gets snatched out from under you when there's something that you can't change.
Mm.
And everyone's looking at it as if it was a choice. And you sit up here and you try to believe that it's a choice and make the choice to do something different, which is nothing but internalizing and telling yourself you hate yourself. Because if you look at yourself in the mirror every day and say, this has to change, it's almost like anorexia. I cannot be gay. I will not be gay. And it's something that's so much a part of you. You hate yourself. You have to hate yourself to be accepted properly.
And you hit the nail on the head when you said that. You said earlier you were taught to love God, your mother, and your father, and never yourself. I think that's a critical path. And I'm going to stop there.
Yeah. Because if you love yourself, then you have to accept yourself. And like you said, accepting yourself is not, that's not the way you're supposed to do. That's throwing it in other people's face. That's treading on someone else's religious freedom. When actually what I do, my husband is formerly pastor of the church. He has a doctorate of divinity. And what he does in our conversations, I don't see us going to anybody's house and burning their Bibles or the Quran. Nothing that we do spiritually affects anybody else. And but when I refuse to let your religion affect what I do, then it becomes a thing. Even though, and it's like my religion is not that fragile, and my spirituality is not that fragile where I can't be that I don't feel like I can be exposed to any differing thoughts or beliefs. And it just is ironic that the people who claim to have the strongest religion or the deepest faith are the ones whose religion is that fragile.
Wow, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a great point.
That's the hard part about the Jesus religion. And because so many of us are indoctrinated in that so early in life, I remember as a child, I could recite the 23rd Psalm when I was, what, 5, 6? And so what we're taught is a great deal of what we are. And so if we're never taught to really love ourselves, we never focus on ourselves. And the spirituality movement, many of them are finding out that's what we do is turn inward to find that true spirituality. And there's a reason for that. And there's a reason why there's war, famine, you name it, all over the world, not just here in America, all over the world. There's a reason for that. And so the only way to actually, how do you say, survive what we're fixing to come upon, and the homosexual agenda, the drug problem, the economy, you name it. In order to really understand that and to endure that, you have to turn inward. And that's where that spirituality takes part, takes place. Because then you start to clear up your mental skies and just don't really, not necessarily care what someone says. I understood that in order to, how do you say, there's a martial arts, and the concept of this martial arts is any situation you're in, whatever the person or the group or the force against you is trying to get you do the opposite. You just stand still. And that's the beauty of turning inward. You can be homosexual, you can be you can be whatever you like. Jesus is not going to come and help you. Buddha is definitely not going to do anything for you. And I'm not going to even go there. But that spirituality, that's going to be our saving grace. And I'll stop there.
Now, you know, I don't knock nobody's religion or nobody's belief. But you know what? I respect that word we used earlier. I respect everybody. And you know what? And I continue to be strong to go on because I know that there's a change coming on all the time. You go back and they'll tell you that they didn't change this from that. I'm not mad at them. See, and they shouldn't be mad at me. So, and I shouldn't be mad at you. See how we use ourselves in negative ways. I like using myself in a good way. So I try to do everything I try to do it good, and then I want to give it out good. And so if we know things are going to change, well, we know that, there's a in the middle of that. There's a difference in something there that maybe we missed or something that we don't know. So even if we miss it and don't know it, why go ridiculous? Why not be good to each other and ourselves?
Yeah.
A lot of love.
Ooh, all right then, Eve. Thank you, Art. Thank you, both of you. So we've got just 2 minutes left in the program. So I want to turn the mic over to Bobby exclusively and let him end us out. This is Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. If you would like to contact me personally, you can send me an email to lifeloveandwellness@gmail.com, and feel free to send me any thoughts that you have regarding the show, the topics, the guests that we can bring on. And I'm turning the remainder of the show over to Bobby Smith, who is the founder of Knot, K-N-O-T, No Oppressive Thinking, who has also created GDAM, G-D-A-A-M, God Designed and Approved Me. And Bobby, with that, I'm going to allow you to close us out, please.
Thank you, Sandy, and thank you for everyone who called in. I just want you to, everyone that's listening, to go out and embrace the spirit of GDAM Week. Not only do I want everyone to embrace it when they hear it, but I also want them to embrace it when they say it, live it, because it's not just empowering the LGBT community. Is not a separate community. It's your community, and all sexual orientations, it's all one world. And however, whatever the reason it is for these all these different designs, there is a reason, and it may be beyond our understanding. But that's not being able to understand is not an excuse to hate. And with that, I close.
Well, thank you. And that is a perfect way to end. I appreciate you so much for using your abilities to design and create GDAM and the powerful influence that it's going to have on the community of humanity. And so, Bobby, my heart goes out to you, and, you know, I stand ready to support you in your endeavors, and I appreciate that the way that the Creator shifted everything around, that you were able to be on the show this week to give birth to GDAM. And so thank you for following your calling, and thank you for the work that you do in the community. And with that, I'm going to close out Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show for this week. We'll see you next week.
Life, Love, and Wellness.